The Health and Human Services Committee will come to order. Sabrina, please call the roll.
Sheriff Ahn.
Here.
Representatives Barrero.
Here.
Anderson.
Here.
Skidmore. Amnesty excused. Baker.
Here.
Cross. Dunkley. Edmonds. Grant. Hart. Coster.
Here.
Masula.
Here.
Persons Mulica.
Here.
Lakin. Salzman.
Here.
Snyder.
Here.
Trabuzzi.
Here.
Tuck.
Here.
Woodson.
Here.
Yakovsky.
Here.
Quorum is present, Ms.
All right. Thank you, Sabrina. As we begin the meeting, I ask everyone to silence your cell phones. Today, we are going to hear 16 bills. I want to go ahead and show HB 1269 temporarily postponed. With that, I am going to be leaving to go present a bill in another committee. I'm going to hand the gavel to Vice Chair Barrero, but I want Chair McClure to know I'd vote for his bill if I was going to be here. So with that, I'm going to hand the gavel over, and I will see you all when I'm done with my bill presentation.
We look forward to that co-sponsorship, Chair.
All right. Hope my aide's watching.
All right. Thank you very much, Chairman Fine. So we have here HB 855, Dental Services, by Representative McClure. Representative McClure, you are recognized to present the bill.
Thank you, Chairman. House Bill 855 addresses direct-to-consumer orthodontics. Specifically, it does four things. It requires a designation of a dentist of record to be listed. Anyone distributing teeth-moving devices must give dentist of record contact info and after-hours emergency contact information, provides additional grounds of disciplinary action by Board of Dentistry, and requires a disclosure on considering in-person exams. I also have an amendment.
All right, Chairman. Before we get into the amendment, we'll just ask a couple of questions. If members, are there any questions related to the bill? Go ahead, Representative McClure, if you want to go ahead and explain the amendment. Barcode, we have here barcode 321887.
Thank you. So this amendment really kind of rethinks exactly, it does the exact same thing that we were doing in the bill, but it applies it across all of dentistry. So it would apply to telehealth, orthodontics, and in-person, and gets it just consistent across the board. That is the amendment.
All right. Are there any questions concerning the amendment, members? Seeing no questions, are there any amendments? Seeing none, all those in favor? Oh, is there any yes, is there any public testimony on the amendment? No public testimony. Show the amendment adopted without objection. All right, now we are back on the bill with public testimony back on the bill. We do have a couple of appearance cards. First up, we have Trey Lawrence from the American Association of Orthodontics, who wishes to appear in person. Trey, you're recognized.
My name is Trey Lawrence. I'm Vice President and General Counsel for the American Association of Orthodontists and our over 1,000 orthodontist members here in the state of Florida. I'll be brief. We strongly believe that this bill is a major step toward protecting patients who receive orthodontic treatment and other types of dental treatment. We believe that this bill will give the dental board the jurisdiction and the authority that it needs to protect those patients the way that it was intended to. So we just want to thank you all for your consideration of this bill. I was going to thank Chair Fine for his consideration of this bill, but he stepped out. So thank you all, and we appreciate your consideration of this bill.
Thank you. Next up, we have Joanne Hart from the Florida Dental Association. I see here that she waves in support. We also have Etta Fernandez from AARP, also waves in support. Thank you. All right, that's it for public appearance cards. All right, members, is there any debate on this bill? Okay, Representative Salzman, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I just wanted to say, what a beautiful bill. I'm so excited to vote up twice. Thank you.
Any further debate, members? All right, members, seeing no further debate, Representative McClure, would you like to close on your bill?
Very briefly, Chairman, I'd really like to thank staff for kind of walking me through how to make this bill even better than I believed it to be. So thank you both for that. I close.
Representative McClure, having closed, Sabrina, please call the roll on HB 55 and announce the vote.
Representatives Barrero?
Yes.
Anderson?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Amnesty? Baker?
Yes.
Cross?
Yes.
Dunkley?
Yes.
Edmonds? Grant?
Yes.
Hart?
Yes.
Coster?
Yes.
Masula?
Yes.
Persons Mulica?
Yes.
Blaken?
Yes.
Salzman?
Yes, twice.
Snyder? Trabuzzi?
Yes.
Tuck?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Yurkoski?
Yes.
Chair Fine? 17 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Show the bill reported favorably. Congratulations, Rep. McClure, as amended. All right, next up we have by Representative Altman, CS for HB 1343, Healthcare Patient Protection. Representative Altman, you are recognized to present the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Current Florida law has no specific standards of care for treating children in hospital emergency departments. This lack of preparedness results in the loss of precious young lives. This bill addresses this lack of readiness in our emergency departments. It requires all hospitals with emergency departments to have evidence-based policies and procedures for pediatric emergency care related to triage, related to recording of vital signs, measuring, weighing, recording weights and kilograms, calculating the medical dosages and use of pediatric instruments, just to name a few. The problem isn't there in our pediatric hospitals, but 84% of the kids go to non-pediatric emergency care. And that's the problem. That's the bill, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Members, are there any questions related to the bill? We do have one amendment. We can address that also after the amendment. However, are there any questions on the substantive bill? Seeing no further questions, Representative Altman, you're recognized to explain Amendment 396293.
The amendment allows paramedics and physician assistants to serve as pediatric emergency care coordinators in hospital emergency departments. Currently, the bill only allows physicians and nurses. So this simply includes the PAs and the paramedics.
Thank you. Is there any questions related to the amendment? Seeing no questions, is there any public testimony? No public testimony. Is there any debate? Show the amendment adopted without objection. Members, we are back on the bill, and we have no public testimony. Seeing no public testimony related to the bill, we are now in debate. Members, is there any debate? Representative Grant, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chairman, and thank you, Representative Altman, for bringing this bill forth. This was an issue that I saw this summer and didn't have the opportunity to carry it, so I appreciate your picking this up and staff for making this all happen, and definitely up on this one. Thank you.
Any further debate on the bill, members? Any further debate? Seeing no further debate, Representative Altman, would you like to close on your bill?
Yes, I just want to thank Leader Grant for his vision and the staff for their quick action. This will save lives of children. It's a very important step. It's an example of how sometimes this process can really work well and address serious problems.
Thank you, Representative Altman. Sabrina, please call the roll on CS for HB 1343 and announce the vote.
Representatives Barrero?
Yes.
Anderson?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Amnesty? Baker?
Yes.
Cross?
Yes.
Dunkley?
Yes.
Edmonds? Grant?
Yes.
Hart?
Yes.
Coster? Yes. Masula?
Yes.
Persons Mulica?
Yes.
Blaken?
Yes.
Salzman?
Yes.
Snyder? Trabuzzi?
Yes.
Tuck?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Yurkoski?
Yes.
Chair Fine? 17 yeas, 0 nays.
Show the bill reported favorably as amended. Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right, next up, we're going to take up Representative Jacques' bills, CS for HB 415, Pregnancy and Parenting Resources website. Representative Jacques, you are recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This bill establishes a website containing critical resources for pregnant women and expecting parents. These services will include educational materials on pregnancy and parenting, maternal health services, prenatal and postnatal services, educational and mentorship programs for fathers, social services, financial assistance, and adoption services. All of these resources will be compiled into a conspicuous state website, and that is the bill.
Thank you, Representative Jacques. Members, are there any questions on Representative Jacques' bill? Excellent. Yes, Representative, you are recognized. Representative Cross.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Jacques, who will decide what information is included on this website?
Yes, Representative Jacques, you are recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Department of Health.
Okay. Follow-up?
Yes, and you recognize it. Go ahead and just open up, go back and forth with questions
if
you'd like.
Thank you. Will this website link to external websites as well, or will it be fully contained within the same DOH website?
Recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So it's going to be its own standalone website, and it will link to services that may already be occurring in the state of organizations who are doing this work, and it'll just be compiled in one area, basically a one-stop shop, a hub where you can get all of the services in one location.
And who will vet which external links are included? Who will make sure that those are medically accurate providers or information to these expected parents?
You recognize.
So again, the Department of Health will take the lead on it, but in conjunction with other departments as well, including DCF, we'll all bring these together, as well as ACA as well. So it'll be in conjunction with DCF, ACA, Department of Health will be the lead agency that contracts with a third party, and will then vet to see which organizations or services that can be compiled into this website.
Okay, thank you. If a member of the public feels that there is something on there that is inaccurate or misleading, what would their recourse be?
Yes, feel free to go ahead and you know, answer questions back and forth, guys.
So, they can contact their legislator, they can contact the Department of Health and address it. So certainly we will exercise our oversight, you know, prerogatives as well. And I will note that there is a one-time non-reoccurring appropriation that would obviously have to be done on an annual basis to continue to maintain this. And so using our oversight abilities as appropriators as well, certainly the legislature can still have a say in making sure that the Department of Health is making sure that all these resources are accurate and helpful to these mothers, expecting mothers and parents.
Okay. And where did you come up with the amount? I think it's around $466,000. Where did that figure come from?
So this amount, and I'm going to, give me 1 second, I'm going to break it down. So staff did an analysis on what these typical services would cost, and it came down to $300 for the URL domain name, $261,900 for advanced web designer, $194,000 for project management, and $10,000 for IT support.
Thank you. Okay. Representative Hart, you had some questions. You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Rep, could you just tell me a little bit about, on line 31, you talk about financial assistance. What type of financial assistance will be provided?
Go ahead, Representative Jock.
Are we free to go back and forth, Mr. Chair?
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you. So any kind of financial assistance that will be pertinent and relevant, so it's not whatever that's already in existence. So it's not a new financial assistance program that we're creating. It's basically linking these expecting parents and pregnant women to services, financial assistance that's already out there, whether it be federal resources, state, local, that can help with the pregnancy and ultimately raising that child here in our state.
On line 26, you talk about the educational materials. Is that also about basically about the same thing, you whatever educational materials out there currently?
Correct. There's a lot of people doing great work in this area. But what we find is that it can be very frustrating for that, you know, expecting parent to try to find all this information in all different areas. So we want to make sure that there is a centralized location where they can access these educational materials. And again, there's already great organizations, whether it be government, nonprofit, and so forth, that are doing this great work, and that will all be compiled in one area.
In putting this together, have you contacted or heard from some of the other agencies like Healthy Mothers or Planned Parenthood, March of Dimes, some of those other organizations? Have you talked to any of them?
Specifically, those organizations, no.
No. Okay. Thank you.
Members, any further questions on the bill? Any further questions? Seeing no further questions, we are now going to move into public testimony. And first up, we have here Cheyenne Drews. Cheyenne Drews, who wishes to appear on behalf of Progress Florida. Cheyenne Drews, yes, you'll recognize Cheyenne.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, members. As mentioned, my name is Cheyenne Drews. I'm here from Orlando on behalf of Progress Florida, the statewide organization, and our 42,000 members. We are here opposing this bill today with a number of concerns of how it could be made better. Decisions around pregnancy and parenting are deeply personal, and each individual's circumstances are unique. As written, I do notice some glaring gaps in this legislation in terms of required components, with no mention of mental health, STD or HIV prevention, any recommendations from our FEMR boards, abortion access, contraception, the list goes on. I also see no provisions that requires the information on this website be medically accurate or any bars that it not be religious or coercive in nature, which brings me to my second concern. Over in the Senate sponsor confirmed that anti-abortion centers or the centers under the Florida Pregnancy Care Network should be a component of this website. And, you know, last year we allocated $29.4 million a year to these centers, a million of which is going to marketing. And so I don't really see why they need another mechanism to get in front of people when, you know, at best they're unethical and at worst they're dangerous. They're not bound by privacy protections. They're often not operated by any type of medical professionals or individuals getting background checks. So placing them on a state website legitimizes them in an inappropriate way. I would also like to say that there hasn't been any data or evidence suggesting that a new website would improve health outcomes in Florida. Would love to see it if that exists. And it should go without saying that a new website will not solve the healthcare crisis. And I think it's important to note that Floridians are not struggling because they lack efficacy. Floridians are struggling because when they apply for the very resources that will be on this website, they're going through state agencies that are severely understaffed and underfunded. And as the bill sponsor just mentioned, this does not create new resources. New families will not be able to apply for eviction diversion programs or a statewide rental or utility assistance program because they don't exist. And I'll end by saying one in four people decide to access an abortion in their lifetime as a decision made around pregnancy. And so until this bill can assert that the website will include comprehensive options for individuals around pregnancy and parenting that represent the diverse needs of all Floridians, I would urge you to vote no and challenge us to do better and offer substantive support, not continued political interference in our personal medical decisions, and now even the information we can access online. Thank you, members.
Thank you for being here. All right, next up we have Aaron DiPietro on behalf of the Florida Family Policy Council, who wishes to appear in person. Aaron DiPietro, don't see you back there. I'm gonna go ahead and move on to the next card. Let him be noted that he waves, he also waves in support. Next up we have Barney Bishop on behalf of the Florida Smart Justice Alliance, and he also waves in support. Thank you. All right, members, now we are going to move on to debate. Is there any debate on this bill? As Representative Woodson, you are recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And for the sake of time, I keep it short because I know we have a long agenda. Web Jacks, I voted up on the bill in the previous committee. I had more people reaching out to me saying they want the website than they did not want the website. And as of prior former public administrator, I know how hard it is for people or women to navigate their way around the system because they are not connected where you can go to a centralized place to get access to the information. But I did hear the concerns this morning. So I would appreciate it if you can hear them out, listen to them, and see how you can meet them halfway in order for you to do what you want to do and as well for the concerns to be heard and addressed. I will vote up on it, but I would like for you to work with them. Thank you.
Yes, Representative Grant, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chairman. I appreciate that. I appreciate this bill. You know, we have a crisis with maternal mortality in this state and most other states, especially since the pandemic. If this bill does nothing but helps 2, 3, 10, 15, 20 women with their pregnancy, then this is a good bill. People complain that, you know, it's not good enough. Come up with an alternative. I haven't heard any alternatives. So I think that we probably need to get this thing passed and work on it in the future. But let's not distort the intent of the bill, which is to improve patient care in the state of Florida, and for that I applaud what you're doing. Thank you.
All right, members, any further debate? Representative Persons, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative, again. I know I debated in the prior committee as well, and to share with this committee, as a representative and a woman who recently had a baby 7 months ago, I understand the challenges in the journey of pregnancy and motherhood. And I applaud you, because even as somebody who is well-connected and knows where to look for access to information, it can be overwhelming for everyone. And to provide a centralized, collaborative website where we can go for a one-stop shop to help us during that critical time for both the mother and the child, I do applaud you, and I encourage everybody to vote up on this. Everything we do can always be made better, and we continue to work on that, and this is a bill where we continue to work on the services that we provide to our mothers and families in the state of Florida. Thank you, Representative, and I ask everybody to join me in voting up on this bill.
All right. One more. Representative Hart, you're recognized.
Yes, sir. Good morning, Rep. I do have some concerns with the Department of Health and their poor track record of oversight. So that does concern me as to whether or not this information will be accurate and updated accurately and appropriately in a timely manner to ensure that people do get proper information. I have concerns that the medical piece of this, who oversees it and how it's going to actually be done. I mean, I'm never against people being able to access accurate information, but I do have some grave concerns with our Department of Health and their ability to deliver some of that information as they should. So just want you to know that. Those are my concerns.
Yes, Representative Cross, you are recognized in debate.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Schock, I think there's a lot of good things in this proposal, but I think excluding abortion options is something that needs to be addressed here. And so, you know, we do have things related to adoption services. Abortion is reproductive health care as well. And so until that can be included in the bill, I'm going to have to be no on it. Would like to work with you on that.
Members, any further debate? Seeing no further debate, Representative Jacques, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, members, for the questions and for the debate. Just want to address a few points regarding abortion services. This is not what this website is about. If someone wants to do that, there's other places they can look. But this is for expecting parents and expecting mothers who wish to have a child here in our state, and we want to make sure that motherhood is not a burden here in the state of Florida. And this website will go towards that end. Regarding the individual who testified here in public comments regarding mental health and other services, I will point to line 26 that says resources include but are not limited to, right? So there are other things that the Department of Health can add to this website, and I encourage all members to continue to be active with the department once this gets rolling to express what you'd like to be added, because it's not limited to these things as well, and certainly there's always ways we can make it better to be as comprehensive as possible in this one-stop shop that will help mothers here in the state of Florida. With that, I close.
All right, Representative Jacques, having closed, Sabrina, please call the roll on CS for HB 415 and announce the vote.
Representatives Barrera?
Yes.
Anderson?
Yes.
Skidmore?
No.
Amnesty? Baker?
Yes.
Cross?
No.
Dunkley?
Yes.
Edmonds? Grant?
Yes.
Hart?
No.
Foster?
Yes.
Masula?
Yes.
Persons Mullica?
Yes.
Blaken?
Yes.
Salzman?
Yes.
Snyder? Tribuzzi?
Yes.
Tuck?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Yurkoski?
Yes.
Chair Fine? 14 yeas, 3 nays, Mr. Chair.
Show the bill reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative Jacques.
Thank you.
All right, members, next up, we're going to move to CS for CS HB 197 by Representative Lopez, Healthcare Practitioners and Massage Therapy. Representative Lopez, you are recognized to present the bill.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, Ranking Member, and members of the committee.
As I think you've heard me say before, Florida ranks third in the U.S. for human trafficking, with Miami, Tampa, and Central Florida being the top three areas. Illicit massage establishments continue to thrive in Florida, offering commercial sexual activity under the guise of massage therapy services. Many are trafficked under force, fraud, and coercion. This legislation provides DOH and local governments with additional authority to shut down massage establishments which are determined to be a nuisance under state law and suspected of human trafficking. That is the bill, Mr. Chairman.
All right, members, are there any questions on the bill? Seeing no questions, there are no amendments. Is there any public testimony? We do have a few appearance cards. First, we have Raymond Mowry on behalf of AANR Florida, waves in support. Next up, we have Eric Shutoff on behalf of AANR Inc. Wishes to, waves in support as well. All right, and we also have Aaron Collins on behalf of the Junior League of Florida. Waves in support. All right, that's it for public appearance cards. We are now in debate, members. Is there any debate on this bill? Seeing no debate, Representative Lopez, you are recognized to close.
Wave close, Mr. Chair.
All right. Sabrina, please call the roll on CS for HB 197 and announce the vote.
Representatives Barrera.
Yes.
Anderson.
Yes.
Skidmore. Yes. Amnesty. Baker.
Yes.
Cross. Dunkley.
Yes.
Edmonds. Grant.
Yes.
Hart.
Yes.
Coster.
Yes.
Masula.
Yes.
Persons Mullica.
Yes.
Flaken.
Yes.
Salzman.
Yes.
Snyder. Tribuzzi.
Yes.
Tuck.
Yes.
Woodson.
Yes.
Yurkoski.
Yes.
Chair Fine. 16 yeas, 0 nays.
Show the bill reported favorably. Congratulations, Rep. Lopez. All right, next up, we're going to move to CS for HB 115, Progressive Supranuclear Palsy and Other Neurodegenerative Disease Policy Work Groups by Representative Bankson and Plakin. Representative Bankson, you are recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, members. Progressive supranuclear palsy, or PSP, is an uncommon brain disorder that causes serious problems with walking, balance and eye movements, and later with speech and swallowing and cognition. This disorder results from deterioration of cells in areas of your brain that control body movement, coordination, thinking, and other important functions. PSP is a rare condition and is frequently misdiagnosed as Parkinson's disease because they both involve slowed movements and gait difficulty. However, several distinguishing features do exist. Because of a lack of awareness of PSP and similarity of symptoms between the two conditions, patients with PSP are often misdiagnosed as having Parkinson's and do not receive the proper treatment. The impact of the symptoms of PSP not only affect the patients themselves, but also their caregivers and families. This bill would bring a committee of qualified and diverse group of individuals led by the state surgeon general and an appointed chair to help provide a specialized focus on PSP symptoms, impacts of PSP, emerging treatments and care, and make policy recommendations as PSP on PSP patient treatment and awareness. The bill requires that a final report of committee findings to be submitted by January 4th, 2026, and that the committee sunset on July 1st, 2026. And that is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Members, are there any questions related to the bill? Seeing no questions, there are no amendments. There's no public testimony. All right, members, we are now in debate on the bill. Is there any debate? Yes, Representative, you are Representative Trouble, so you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I heard this bill in its first committee stop, and I just think it's worth taking a pause and really recognizing what you're doing, bringing awareness to PSP. As I mentioned to you, and we've had conversations, I had a family member who had PSP, and it was really devastating just to be able to get a proper diagnosis because it is not, although it's not rare, it's just hard to diagnose because it is a cross between, I would say when you're relating to somebody, a cross between ALS and Parkinson's. And so the diagnosis, the journey through the entire process of the disease is, it's so hard on the family. And I just thank you for wanting to dig into it more, bringing awareness, hopefully finding more resources for folks and families and helping maybe even to find a cure. So thank you so much.
All right, any further debate? Seeing no further debate, Representative Bankson, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you. Again, I've said before, sometimes good bills find you. And I want to thank former Representative Bob Cortez, who I believe is watching today. This came about because he suffered through this as their family. His father is suffering with PSP. And as they walked through it, the fear, the confusion, the hopelessness that was created because there was no recognition of this early on, this really has brought this to light. And so it is with a passion. And I thank Representative Tribolsi for sharing her story as well. This is more common than we realize. Between 30 and 40,000 members of the United States right now are walking with this. And it's often not even diagnosed. And they find out in autopsy studies that it's falling short on its diagnosis. So this will help to create light and hope for those who are walking through this. And with your favorable support, we can bring that hope to them. Thank you.
All right, Representative Bankson, having closed on his bill, Sabrina, please call the roll on CS for HB 115 and announce the vote.
Representatives Barrero?
Yes.
Anderson?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Amnesty? Baker?
Yes.
Cross?
Yes.
Dunkley?
Yes.
Edmonds? Grant?
Yes.
Hart?
Yes.
Costa?
Yes.
Masula?
Yes.
Persons Mullica?
Yes.
Blaken?
Yes.
Salzman?
Yes.
Snyder? Tribolsi?
Yes.
Tuck?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Yurkowski?
Yes.
Chair Fahn? 17 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Show the bill reported favorably. Congratulations. All right, members, next up, we're going to take CS for HB 591, Hot Car Death Prevention, by Representative Brandon. Representative Brandon, you are recognized to present the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members, and good to see you in the chief's chair this morning. Mr. Chair, this bill, House Bill 591, is cited as a Riaz Act, and it's one that's very close to my heart as it is to those in my little small community back home. Ariah Page, a precious little 10-month-old little girl, was tragically left in a hot car this past July, this summer, in McClenny, Florida. As a father, I can't imagine, even begin to imagine what the Page family has endured over the past few months, and although I have got to know them, I wish under different circumstances, their determination and perseverance in the light of this tragedy is remarkable. And they have one goal, and that is to ensure that this never happens again to a precious little child. In fact, in Florida this past year, 7 children have died due to heat stroke by being left in hot cars. What the bill actually does is it designates the month of April as Hot Car Death Prevention Month to raise awareness of the dangers of leaving children in motor vehicles unattended and to educate the public in preventing these types of deaths. The Department of Children and Families, Department of Health, the Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles, local governments, and other agencies are encouraged to sponsor events that promote public awareness on the dangers of leaving a child unattended in a motor vehicle and the methods to prevent hot car deaths. Proper motor vehicle safety for children, the criminal penalties associated with leaving a child in a motor vehicle unattended or unsupervised, and steps that a bystander can take to rescue a vulnerable child in imminent danger in these situations. Mr. Chairman, that's the bill.
Members, are there any questions related to the bill? Any questions? Seeing no questions, we do have a few public appearance cards. And first up, we have Barney Bishop on behalf of Florida Smart Justice Alliance. Waves in support. Next up, we have Rocco Salvatore on behalf of Florida Professional Firefighters. I have you waving in support. Now we have David Cullen on behalf of Advocacy Institute for Children. Waves in support. We also have Chantel Smith on behalf of the Florida PTA, also waves in support. That's it for public testimony. Members, is there any debate on this bill? Yes. In the corner, we have Representative Salzman. You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to share a little personal touch to this. About 8 years ago, my youngest son, Chancellor, he's 12, his best friend was Hezekiah, his little cousin, and they used to play together all the time because Grandma would pick up all the grandbabies and they'd go out to the farm and hang out with the horses and whatnot. But one morning we got a call. Hezekiah was missing. He was playing hide-and-go-seek with his grandpa, and we couldn't find him. Within 15, 20 minutes of calling 911, we had hundreds of people in the neighborhood running around searching for baby Hezekiah all over the neighborhood. Right inside the gate was parked a police patrol car. On the hood of the car, they were taking notes where the search people are, who's where, where are the dogs, we need more people, who's bringing bottled water, who's got flashlights. A few hours later, when we couldn't find Hezekiah, somebody went into the car to get something, and we had learned that baby Hezekiah had hid in the car. And had we known that that could have even been a thing, we would have locked the doors. We would have locked the doors to the car. So we lost Hezekiah that day. And to this day, my husband, my mother-in-law, just my whole family, every time we get out of the car in a driveway, we think, oh my gosh, did we lock the doors? What if a neighbor kid is trying to play hide-and-go-seek like baby Hezekiah? So thank you for this bill. You know, awareness will really save lives, not just from leaving children in hot cars, but just understanding the dangers of leaving that car unlocked in the middle of July in Florida. So thank you.
Thank you. Members, any further debate? Seeing no further debate, Representative Brandon, you're recognized to close on this very good bill.
Thank you. You know, we get our noses in these phones, and I can tell you about another case where a bright young lawyer who generally didn't take his child to school, the mother was running late that day and asked that dad take the child to school, and he was worried about his day in the courthouse and what was going on. He rushed to the courthouse, and he rushed inside, and about 3 hours later, he forgot that he had left his little baby in the car. So this has happened twice in my district. So hopefully we can bring awareness, and people will start thinking about and checking those back seats when they get out of those cars. Thank you. With that, I close.
Senator Brandon, having closed, Sabrina, please call the roll on CS for HB 591 and announce the vote.
Representatives Barrera?
Yes.
Anderson?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Amnesty? Baker?
Yes.
Cross?
Yes.
Dunkley?
Yes.
Edmonds? Grant?
Yes.
Hart?
Yes.
Costa?
Yes.
Masula?
Yes.
Persons Mullica?
Yes.
Lakin?
Yes.
Salzman?
Yes.
Snyder? Trabuzzi?
Yes.
Tuck?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Yurkoski?
Yes.
Chair Fine? 17 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Show the bill reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative Brandon. All right, next up, we're going to take a couple of bills here by Representative Hunchoski. First up, we have CS for HB 999, Social Work Licensure Interstate Compact. Representative Hunchoski, you're recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Chair and members of the committee. This is the Social Worker Licensure Interstate Compact. What it would do when it becomes effective is it would allow social workers to sign up for the compact. Florida will be a compact state, and then they can also practice in other compact states, and that is the bill.
All right. Members, are there any questions on the bill? Seeing no questions, and there are no amendments, we do have a couple of public appearance cards. First up, again, we have Barney Bishop on behalf of the Florida Justice Smart Justice Alliance, waves in support. Next, we have Dawn Brown on behalf of the National Association of Social Workers, the Florida chapter, also waves in support. We also have Chantel Smith from the Florida PTA, waving in support. All right, that's it for public testimony. Members, is there any debate on the bill? Any debate? Seeing no debate, Representative Hunchoski, would you like to close on your bill?
Wave closed.
Representative Hunchoski, having closed, Sabrina, please call the roll on CS for HB 999 and announce the vote.
Representatives Barrera?
Yes.
Anderson?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Amnesty? Baker?
Yes.
Cross?
Yes.
Dunkley?
Yes.
Edmonds? Grant?
Yes.
Hart?
Yes.
Costa?
Yes.
Masula?
Yes.
Persons Mullica?
Yes.
Lakin?
Yes.
Salzman?
Yes.
Snyder, Trabuzzi?
Yes.
Tuck?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Yurkoski?
Yes.
Chair Fine? 17 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Show the bill reported favorably. Stay right there. Representative Hinchoski will also take up CS for HB 101, Public Records and Meetings, Social Work Licensure Interstate Compact. You are recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, this is the public records bill linked to the House Bill 99, the Social Worker Compact.
All right, we do have one amendment on the bill. We'll go ahead and take up the amendment, barcode 571581. Representative Hinchoski, please explain the amendment.
This is a strike-all amendment that just gets the language in line with the Senate bill, and that's the amendment.
Okay, excellent. All right, members, is there any questions on the amendment? Seeing no questions, we do have, there's no public testimony. Any debate on the amendment? Without objection, show the amendment adopted. We are back on the bill. Members, are there any questions related to the bill? Seeing no questions, we do have a public appearance card. We have Barney Bishop on behalf of the Florida Smart Justice Alliance waving in support. Thank you. Seeing no further public testimony, is there any debate on the bill? Seeing no debate, Representative Hinchoski, would you like to close on your bill?
Wave close.
Representative Hinchoski, having closed on her bill, Sabrina, please call the roll on CS for HB 101 and announce the vote.
Representatives Barrero?
Yes.
Anderson?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Amnesty? Baker?
Yes.
Cross?
Yes.
Dunkley?
Yes.
Edmonds? Grant?
Yes.
Hart?
Yes.
Coster?
Yes.
Masula?
Yes.
Persons Mullica?
Yes.
Blaken?
Yes.
Salzman?
Yes.
Snyder? Trabuzzi?
Yes.
Tuck?
Yes.
Woodson? Yes. Yurkoski?
Yes.
Chair Fine?
Yes.
18 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
All right, show the bill reported favorably as amended. Members, I'm now going to pass the gavel back to Chairman Fine.
Thank you. Hope you didn't have too much fun while I was gone. Next up, we're going to take up Rep. Franklin's bill, CS for HB 935, Home Health Care Services. Representative Franklin, you're recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Mr. Vice Chair, also Ranking Member Skidmore. Currently in Florida, advanced practice registered nurses, as well as PAs, physician assistants, have the ability to order home health services, but for non-Medicaid patients, non-Medicaid funded insurance plans. What HB 935 does is allows APRNs to order home health services for Medicaid patients. Mr. Chair, we do have an amendment.
Okay. Before we get to the amendment, members, are there any questions? All right. Seeing none, we'll take up amendment barcode 470261 by Representative Franklin. You're recognized to explain your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This adds physician assistance to this portion of the bill. So currently in federal law, like I said before, APRNs and physician assistants can order home health services for non-Medicaid-funded plans. This allows both APRNs and now, with this amendment, physician assistants to order home health services for Medicaid patients.
Okay, members, are there questions on the amendment? Okay, seeing none, no public testimony on the amendment. Anyone wishing to debate the amendment? All right, you're welcome to close.
Wave close.
All right, without objection, show that amendment adopted. Public testimony on the bill. We do have a few. Etta Fernandez, representing AARP, waves in support. Jennifer Ungrew, representing Home Care Association of America, waves in support. Bobby Lolly, representing the Home Care Association of Florida, waves in support. And Corinne Mixon, representing the Florida Academy of PAs, waves in support. Okay, members, anyone wishing to debate? Seeing none, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Wave closed.
All right, having waived closed on his bill, Sabrina, please call the roll on CS for HB 935 and announce the vote.
Representatives Barrero? Anderson?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Amnesty? Baker?
Yes.
Cross?
Yes.
Dunkley?
Yes.
Edmonds? Grant?
Yes.
Hart?
Yes.
Coster?
Yes.
Masula?
Yes.
Persons Mullica?
Yes.
Blaken?
Yes.
Salzman?
Yes.
Snyder? Trabuzzi?
Yes.
Tuck?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Yurkoski?
Yes.
Chair Fine?
Yes.
17 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Show the bill reported favorably as amended. Congratulations. All right, next up, we're going to do a few bills while we wait for more guests to arrive. We're going to take up... Oh, okay. Well, we'll do your actual bill first. What? Okay, so first up, we're going to do CS for HB 827, by Mental Health Professionals, by Representative Koster. Representative Koster, you are welcome to explain your bill. Recognize to explain your bill.
Thank you, Chair. Vice Chair, Committee, HB 827 reclassifies the intern registration to associate for clinical social workers, marriage and family therapists, and mental health counseling professionals trying to assist with the workforce issues facing Floridians in search of mental health counseling. By changing the term from intern to associate to reflect the training and qualifications of these mental health providers, it will reduce confusion for the public and increase public's use of these healthcare services. Currently, there are 24 other states that use the term associate. That is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Members, anyone wishing to ask questions? Okay, seeing none, we don't have any amendments. And public testimony, we've got Barney Bishop representing the Florida Smart Justice Alliance, Waves in Support, and Corinne Mixon representing the Florida Association of Mental Health Counselors, Waves in Support. Members, anyone wishing to debate? Seeing none, Representative Koster, you're recognized to close.
Wave closed, Chair.
All right, Sabrina, please call the roll on CS for HB 827 and announce the vote.
Representatives Barrero? Anderson?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Amnesty? Baker?
Yes.
Cross?
Yes.
Dunkley?
Yes.
Edmonds? Grant?
Yes.
Hart?
Yes.
Koster?
Yes.
Masula?
Yes.
Persons Mullica?
Yes.
Lakin?
Yes.
Salzman?
Yes.
Snyder? Trabuzzi?
Yes.
Tuck?
Yes.
Woodson? Yes. Yurkowski?
Yes.
Chair Fine?
Yes.
17 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Okay, show the bill reported favorably. Next up, we're going to go to Representative Plakin with CS for HB 89 regarding Revive Awareness. Representative Plakin, you're recognized to present your bill.
Thank you, Chair, members of the committee. Really appreciate the opportunity to present CS for HB 89. The bill authorizes the governor to issue an annual proclamation designating June 6th of each year as Revive Awareness Day. The Department of Health is encouraged to hold awareness events about the dangers of opioids and the life-saving medications that can revive someone after an overdose. The bill is also known as Victoria's Law, named after the daughter of public figures David and Jackie Siegel. Victoria Siegel died of an accidental drug overdose at the tender age of only 18. That is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Having explained her bill, members, are there any questions on the bill? Okay. Seeing none, we don't have any amendments. Public testimony. Cynthia Henderson, representing but you're an opponent of the bill, so you'll, what? Sorry? In support? And who do you represent? Indivior. Sorry, I couldn't say that. All right, it says opponent here. I'm changing to proponent. Waves in support. Barney Bishop, representing the Florida Smart Justice Alliance, waves in support. Lauren Jackson, representing the Seminole County Sheriff's Office, waves in support. Chantel Smith, representing the Florida PTA, waves in support. Chris Hansen, representing the Consumer Healthcare Products Association, waves in support. Members, anyone wishing to debate? Seeing none, Representative Plakin, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Chair. Wave close.
Sabrina, please call the roll on CS for HB 89 and announce the vote.
Representatives Barrero, Anderson?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Amnesty? Baker?
Yes.
Cross?
Yes.
Dunkley?
Yes.
Edmonds? Grant?
Yes.
Hart?
Yes.
Koster?
Yes.
Masula?
Yes.
Persons Mullica?
Yes.
Plakin?
Yes.
Salzman? Snyder?
Yes.
Trabuzzi?
Yes.
Tuck?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Yurkowski?
Yes.
Chair Fine?
Yes.
17 yeas, 0 nays.
All right, let's show that bill reported favorably. Next up, we're going to take CS for HB 309, Rural Emergency Hospitals, by Representative Schoaf. Representative Schoaf, you are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This bill, let me start another way. Rural Emergency Hospital is a new Medicare provider type made available as of January 1st, 2023. The RAH model was created to respond to rural hospital closures and to give rural communities access to health care. Since 2020, we've had 5 hospitals close in our rural areas. This will not impact the state fiscally, but it is a federal program that will bring down extra dollars to help ensure we keep the access to health care in these rural communities, and that is the bill.
All right, having explained the bill, members, are there any questions? Okay, seeing none, we don't have any amendments. We do have some public comment. Brian Cherry, representing the North Walton Doctors Hospital, waves in support. Sarah Massey, representing the Florida Chamber of Commerce, waves in support. Clay Meenan, representing the Florida Hospital Association, waves in support. Members, anyone wishing to debate? Okay, seeing none, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Wave close.
All right, having waved close, Sabrina, please call the roll on CS for HB 309 and announce the vote.
Representatives Barrero, Anderson.
Yes.
Skidmore.
Yes.
Amnesty. Baker.
Yes.
Cross.
Yes.
Dunkley.
Yes.
Edmonds. Grant.
Yes.
Hart.
Yes.
Coster.
Yes.
Masula.
Yes.
Persons Mullica.
Yes.
Lakin.
Yes.
Salzman.
Yes.
Snyder.
Yes.
Tribuzzi.
Yes.
Huck.
Yes.
Woodson.
Yes.
Yurkowski.
Yes.
Chair Fine.
Yes.
18 yeas, zero nays, Mr. Chair.
All right, show that bill reported favorably. Congratulations. Next up, we're going to take Representative Tant on HB 73 regarding supported decision-making. Representative Tant, you're recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm waiting for my prime co-sponsor.
All right, I see it right there, Tant. Yes. And Coster. My apologies.
No problem. I want to just take a hot minute, first of all, to say thank you, Mr. Chair, for scheduling the bill and for all of you for hearing it. I will tell you that I've been working on this for 4 years, and I'd about given up hope. And Representative Coster called me this summer, and she said, I think we can work on this. Let's try it one more time. And so I really give her the props. So why don't you present, and I'll be your cheerleader.
You insist. Thank you, Chair, Vice Chair, Ranking Member, and Committee. HB 73, Supportive Decision-Making, does four things. First, it creates an alternative to guardianship and guardian advocacy to establish supportive decision-making agreements by individuals with developmental disabilities who have the capacity to enter into such agreements. Secondly, the bill requires the consideration of specific abilities and needs of persons with developmental disabilities and whether or not supportive decision-making agreements are appropriate as a lesser alternative to guardian advocacy. The bill also requires a court, when a court is petitioned to determine restoration of the capacity of an individual, the bill, among other things, requires the court to consider supportive decision-making as an appropriate alternative. And lastly, the bill adds supportive decision-making agreements to the list of resources provided to students with disabilities aged 18 to 22 that are still in our schools to use to include family members in educational decision-making along with other tools. That is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Members, are there any questions on the bill? Okay, well, you may get a chance to talk, so it's okay. All right, seeing none, we do not have any amendments, but we do have a lot of people who are here. I've been wondering, like, what? Why are all the people here this whole time? Now we know. All right, so we've got two folks who'd like to speak. Alan Abramowitz, representing the ARC of Florida. He is a proponent of the bill.
May it please the chair.
Absolutely, you're recognized.
I'm Alan Abramowitz, the CEO of the ARC of Florida. First of all, I'd like to thank this committee for all the bills they've heard. This committee has made persons with intellectual and developmental disabilities a priority this year, especially you, Chair Fine, with highlighting the wait list, and we appreciate that. Want to thank Representative Tant and Representative Costa. This is an important bill. I'm only going to speak for a second because, you know, those people that have the courage to fight battles probably need to be the ones to speak. And I know Michael's going to be speaking in a second. He was the one that actually litigated this in court. This is a great protection against guardianship abuse. And I'll let the self-advocates take the lead in this one. But again, I appreciate all that you're doing. Chair, Redwood Leader Grant, too, also. Thanks for yesterday. Thank you.
You're welcome, and we're glad that you are here. We have one more speaker, unless anybody else wants to speak. Okay, I'm going to let you, Michael, I'm going to let you say your last name, because I'm going to get it wrong. But you're representing Magical Self-Advocacy, and you are a proponent. So if you could let us know your last name. Come on up here. And by the way, we're not allowed to clap or react. You can, you know, be happy, but no, we're not allowed to. And I'm not good at that. No clapping. So go ahead. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, committee members. Thank you, Representative Coster and Representative Tant.
This is a very exciting day for people with intellectual developmental disabilities. I've been fighting for this bill for the past 4.5 years after being in a very abusive guardianship by my own guardian and being held hostage by my family and my friends, not being able to do any of the volunteer work that I fought to do as a citizen of the state of Florida. This is my baby. This bill does a lot for intellectual disabilities. I had the honor of meeting with some awesome legislators yesterday for Developmental Disability Awareness Day. I met with the aide with Representative Tuck. I met with the aide and my favorite legislator, along with my other Representative Snyder and Representative Travolsi. And my mission, get this in front of the governor and have him sign it into law, because this is going to open doors for people to make outstanding decisions. I went from being in a guardianship to working my dream job at Universal Orlando Resort as a food and beverage associate. I was also instrumental with having supported decision-making, being the team captain of a missing persons unit for the Treasure Coast Fort Pierce Guardian Angels in St. Lucie County, and finding 8 missing children, one being a 15-year-old girl who was lost from finding her way and searching 10 hours for her. So this bill has a lot of positives to it. And with your favorably votes, I expect it to hopefully be passed today. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for testifying today. We have a whole lot of people wishing to wave in support. So I will read, I'm assuming wave in support. I don't know why you'd be against it. First, we're Barney Bishop, Florida Smart Justice Alliance, waves in support. Brian Jogerst, representing the Florida Bar Elder Law Section, waves in support. Laura Lee Minutello, representing Disability Rights Florida, waves in support. Victoria Zepp, representing the Children's Home Network, waves in support. Victoria Zepp, representing Family Support Services of North Florida, waves in support. Victoria Zepp, representing a lot of people, including One Hope United, waves in support. Edda Fernandez, representing AARP, waves in support. Margaret Hooper, representing the Florida DD Council, waves in support. Stephanie Norden, representing Autism Collier, waves in support. Mary Riordan, representing the Florida Association of Behavior Analysis, waves in support. Melissa Mazeda, and thank you for putting out phonetics for me, representing the Association of Support Coordination Agencies, waves in support. Kayla Farrell, representing the Association of Support Coordination Agencies, waves in support. Ryan Chandler, representing the Association of Support Coordination Agencies, waves in support. Patrick J. Gurin III, representing the Loveland Center, Inc., waves in support. Brian Carey, representing himself, waves in support. Randy Cobb, representing himself, waves in support. Melody Hearn, representing herself, waves in support. Erica McKinnon, representing We the People, waves in support. Tony McKinnon, representing We the People, waves in support. Huldah McKinnon, representing We the People, waves in support. Nadia McKinnon, so clearly the whole McKinnon family, representing We the People, waves in support. Hefe or Hebe Beauchamp, representing We the People, different last name, waves in support. Chantel Smith, representing the Florida PTA, waves in support. Floyd Brown, representing himself, waves in support. James Hicks, representing himself, waves in support. Kimberly Knob, waves in support, representing herself. George Soule, I think, representing himself, waves in support. Carla and Yolanda Herrera, representing themselves, wave in support. Sylvia Tortolini-Mangson, waves in support. And finally, Skittle Stockton, representing We the People, waves in support. Anybody else wishing to speak or wave in support? All right, you can wave. Okay, I see it. All right. Okay, members. Yes, ranking member, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to say I cannot imagine a more dynamic duo to shepherd this bill. It is obviously has been a labor of love, but a talented attorney and a devoted mom. I can't imagine how happy and proud you must be to get this over the finish line for Michael and everybody in this room. And so, thank you.
Anyone else wishing to speak in debate? Oh, yes, Representative Schiple, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair Fine. This is a great day. Representative Tant, I know we've been talking about this since our first freshman year, and it's been such an important initiative for you. I'm really excited that Chair Koster was able to pick up the torch and carry it with you, but I just have to give a lot of props. If I could clap out loud, I would clap. But Michael, I have to tell you, just taking a little bit of privilege here, the first time I met with Michael, it was in my first month of running for office. I had just announced that I was running, and he called and said, will you meet with me? And I said, of course, I'll meet with everybody. And so we met at Mission Barbecue in St. Lucie West, and he sat down and he said, do you know about supported decision making? And I'm no idea. So he just educated me for about an hour on it, told me how passionate he was with it, and then he pulled out his phone. And he proceeded for another hour to go through multiple questions just to see if I would be the right person to represent our community. So it was the most intensive interview I've ever had, but also the most impressive. And we have a lot to learn from you because you don't give up and you are fighting literally for your life. And we are certainly excited to fight for it alongside of you. So thank you for not giving up, and it is a great day.
Anyone else wishing to debate? All right, well, if not, I'll just make a couple comments, some that I've made before, but I think they bear repeating. You know, society is measured by how we take care of those who are in a bad situation through no fault of their own. And I think one of the areas in which we have failed as a society is not demarcating a clear line between those who are in a difficult situation through no fault of their own and those who are in a difficult situation because of themselves. This is one of those bills that helps define that line and helps show that we are doing the right thing. I have a lot of days in this job, and frankly, a whole lot in the last couple of weeks, where I wonder why it is that I actually do this. And I ask, is this job worth it? And I go home at the end of the day, and I have a little calendar where I put an X or a check for whether being here was worth it today. There have been a lot of days most recently where that an X went on that board. Today will not be one of those. So with that, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Chair. With your permission, we may tag team the close. Is that all right?
Go ahead, as long as there's no clapping.
No clapping.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair, for taking up this bill and for your heart for this matter. I will tell you that when my son was born and I did not know what the future looked like for him, I quickly became the best student because he taught me more than I could ever teach him. And he continues to teach me to this day. He's now 25 years old. He's living independently. He's living his best life. He has a job. And when he was in high school, our PE teacher, who was the ESE teacher, said, you might need to think about a guardianship. So we rushed to go check all that out, not knowing really what, even though I'm married to a brilliant lawyer, not really knowing what guardianship was. And so having this as another option on the table for families like mine is critical. Last year, you guys helped me pass a bill that allows for supported decision-making in the educational sphere by signing a letter of consent with teachers and parents and the loved one, and the student, rather. Do you know that just to sign permission slips, that's why you helped me do that. When that legislation passed the floor and I posted about it on social media, my transition teacher sent me a note and said, do you know that we have so many families right now that have retainer fees of $7,500 each just to start the guardianship process? And once you become a guardian, you then have to take courses and you have to re-up every year. This is going to help so many families. Not only will it help families, it's going to help people like Michael and my son. So thank you for hearing this bill. And I want to take one moment and just say, when we first started this 4 years ago, there was no traction between Disability Rights Florida and the entities in the legal side of this. I could not get the sides to work together. Second year, we had a bill that we really worked hard on, but just couldn't get it through the finish line. We finally have this work product, and it is a four-year work product between the Elder Law Section, the Reptile Section of the Florida Bar, and Disability Rights Florida. And I just want to thank all of the parties for coming together to make sure that what we put forward does what we want to do in this space, but at the same time keeps the legal protections for those who need this support, but can't. I don't want them exploited by bad actors. So thank you.
I'm just going to take a quick moment and just add, you know, it's not often in this process, at least it hasn't been in my experience. You know, we all come here with our personal experiences, and obviously partnering with Representative Tant on this project, she brings to the table the personal experience. But we also are here representing our constituents, and it's not often that they come to us with ideas. But this actually came to me from a constituent, Kayla Roberts, who asked to meet with me multiple times, and we sat down for multiple hours. And it was immediately clear to me that she did not need a guardian. She just needed some support. And when she explained to me what supportive decision-making was, I thought, well, gosh, this is a no-brainer. Why aren't we doing this? And she told me that Representative Tant had been trying for 3 years, and so immediately called her and said, well, we got to do this. We can get this across the finish line. And Kayla is now studying at UCF and an incredibly bright young woman, and I hope she's watching today. But then I also had the pleasure this week of meeting Michael, and as you all saw, he also doesn't need a guardian. He just needs a little support, and we're here today asking you to give him that support so that we can get this in law for these folks. So thank you.
Having closed on their great bill, Sabrina, please call the roll on HB 73 and announce the vote.
Representatives Barrero, Anderson?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Amnesty? Baker?
Yes.
Cross?
Yes.
Dunkley?
Yes.
Edmonds? Grant?
Yes.
Hart?
Yes.
Coster?
Yes.
Masula?
Yes.
Persons Mullica?
Yes.
Plakin?
Yes.
Salzman?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Trabuzzi?
Yes.
Tuck?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Yurkowski?
Yes.
Chair Fine?
Yes.
18 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Show the bill reported favorably. Congratulations. Still no clapping. But congratulations. All right. We've got three left. Next up, we're going to take, you know, you talk about something like this, and we're going to talk about tax collectors. We're going to take up CS for HB 505 by Representative Trunow. You're recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Chair, Vice Chair, Ranking Member. CS for HB 505 does the following. Increase the base salary used in the formulation for calculating tax collectors' revenue by $5,000. Allows tax collectors' employees to qualify for lump sum monetary benefits for adopting a child based on the same qualification terms as state employees, veterans, and service members. And it also allows school districts to contract with tax collector office to administer road tests on school grounds. That is the bill.
Okay, are there any questions on the bill? Seeing none, we do not have any amendments. We have some public comments. Ann Gannon, representing the Palm Beach City Tax Collector, wishes to appear in person. Okay, waves in support. All right. And next we've got David Shep, representing the Tax Collector's Office for Polk County, waves in support. Tim Qualls, representing the Florida Tax Collectors Association, waves in support. And Drew Miner, representing the Florida Tax Collectors Association, waves in support. Members, anyone wishing to debate on the bill? All right, seeing none, you are recognized to close.
Thank you, Chair, and I just ask for your favorable support.
All right, having closed on his bill, Sabrina, please call the roll on CS for HB 505 and announce the vote.
Representatives Barrero, Anderson?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Amnesty? Baker?
Yes.
Cross?
Yes.
Dunkley?
Yes.
Edmonds? Grant?
Yes.
Hart?
Yes.
Coster?
Yes.
Masula?
Yes.
Persons Mullica?
Yes.
Lakin?
Yes.
Salzman?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Trabuzzi?
Yes.
Tuck?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Yurkoski?
Yes.
Chair Fein?
Yes.
18 yeas, zero nays, Mr. Chair.
Show the bill reported favorably. Congratulations. Okay, two more by our very own Representatives Woodson and Snyder. We'll do the first one, HB 725, regarding veterans long-term care facilities admission. Representative Woodson, you are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Chair Fein, Vice Chair Barrero, Whip Anderson, and Ranking Member Skidmore, and members of the committee. Thank you for allowing me to present House Bill 725, entitled Veterans Long-Term Care Facilities Admission, this morning. This bill is being introduced by Rep. Snyder and myself. Rep. Snyder couldn't be here. He has committees as well this morning. So
you should clap.
Oh, I thought you were here. Keep going. I apologize.
You can talk about how great he is. He doesn't mind.
Go down. I texted. I apologize. Rep. Snyder has been a great partner. We both have worked with this. I apologize. I look, I didn't see him. All right. Sorry about that, guys. Hey, we have to keep the humor going, right? Okay. House Bill 725 is a very important bill, and I would explain it in so many words. Recently, if a veteran needs to be admitted in a long-term care facility, there's not a process in place to allow him and his wife to get admitted in there, especially when you take in a vet who has been married to his wife for like 50 years or 60 years. During the golden years, you don't need them to be in separate homes. So basically, this bill revised the eligibility regarding admission to the Florida State Veterans Nursing Home and Long-Term Care Program. This bill revised Chapter 296 of Florida statute to allow admission of spouses or surviving spouses into the Veterans Nursing Home, the domiciliary and adult day health care programs in the state of Florida. Members, this is the bill. Chair, that's the bill.
All right. Members, anyone wishing to ask questions? You could quiz her, you know. all right. Seeing none, we do have no amendments, but we do have two comment cards. Bob Atsalos, representing the Florida Department of Veterans Affairs, waves in support. And Lisa Hurley, representing the Collier County Board of County Commissioners, waves in support. Members, anyone wishing to debate? Representative Snyder, you're recognized. Since you are here.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just want to, first of all, say thank you to my prime co-sponsor who has been carrying this through. I do apologize. I was over and not presenting. But this is one of those areas where Representative Woodson, I know your heart, and I know the passion that you have for those that have served our country, and so I just wanted to say thank you for everything you're doing, because as those who have had the privilege of serving, you know it's not just you in service, it is that entire family, and so to make sure that we don't allow technicalities to get in the way of common sense applications, this is a great example of that, so thank you for everything you're doing, and I hope everyone votes up on this great bill today.
Anyone else wishing to debate? Okay. Seeing none, Representative Woodson, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Chair Fein, for allowing me two of my bills to be heard this morning. Remember that. Rep. Snyder, you have been the best prime co-sponsor on this bill. You have. And I say that, and you know you're my brother. But for the sake of time, I would like to really thank Bob Asvalos, you all know Bob. Bob is sitting right there. And Brendan Edmondson, they breathe and leave services for our veterans. We know it. We owe it to our veterans to make sure that they are taken care of, especially in the golden years when they need to be together. So Rep. Snyder and I are asking for your full support on this great bill, members. Thank you.
Sabrina, please call the roll on HB 725 and announce the vote.
Representatives Barrero, Anderson.
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Amnesty? Baker?
Yes.
Cross?
Yes.
Dunkley?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Grant?
Yes. Hart?
Yes.
Foster?
Yes.
Masula?
Yes.
Per- Persons Mulica?
Yes.
Plakin?
Yes.
Salzman?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Trabuzzi?
Yes.
Tuck?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Yurkoski?
Yes.
Chair Fine?
Yes.
18 yeas, zero nays, Mr. Chair.
Show the bill reported favorably. And last up, we are going to have Representative Woodson's second bill on the agenda today, HB 63, regarding protection from surgical smoke. Representative Woodson, you're recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you for the second time, Chair Fine, and I will forget it, like you say. Vice Chair Borrego, Whip Anderson, Ranking Member Kit Skidmore, and members of the committee. This bill, again, is a very good and an important bill. And I want you to just think of the idea of you having surgery in an operating room. The surgeon usually uses an instrument called a plume to cut the patient. When they cut the patient, there's a smoke generated as a result of the burning tissue. And that smoke is harmful to the doctors, the patient, the nurses, long that are in the room. So this is basically what that bill would do. House Bill 63 would require of all hospital and surgical centers to adopt and implement policies that require the use of surgical smoke evacuation system during surgical procedures. In so many words, we are saving lives. We are asking you to save lives. It's estimated that over 500,000 patients and healthcare workers are exposed to surgical smoke each year. And also the fact that research revealed that by 2035, we are expected to have a shortage in the state of Florida of 65,000 nurses. This is why this bill is so important. So this bill would put policies in place to make sure that the smoke does not get to the patient's lungs, the doctor's lungs, the nurse's lungs, and everybody who is in the operating room. That's the bill, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Members, anyone wishing to ask questions? All right. Seeing none, we do have no amendments, but a fair number of comment cards. First, we have Janice Adams, representing the Florida Nurses Association, wishing to appear in person. As a proponent of the bill. You're recognized.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Chair Thon, and members of the committee, and Representative Woodson. What can I say? You so eloquently explained our bill. Thank you. My name is Janice Adams, and I am the immediate past president of the Florida Nurses Association. I represent over 400,000 registered nurses in the state of Virginia. I'm here to express my support. Chair Thon, thank you so much for hearing the second bill for Representative Woodson.
Second.
We have more for her, but this is just the second one. We also thank you very much, Representative Woodson. Our operating room nurses have suffered occupational hazards through surgical smoke on a daily exposure, sometimes cases lasting up to 24 hours overnight for some of these big cancer cases in which you're inhaling this smoke. Unfortunately, we know it's an occupational hazard because OSHA has deemed it so, but they failed to establish guidelines. Instead, OSHA states that their general duty clause should allow employers to are required to provide employees with a place of employment which is free of recognized hazards. That has not happened. So we're here to ask our legislators to help us do that and protect our healthcare team, protect our not only the nurses, the physicians, the scrub tech, the person that's cleaning the room after the surgery. Everybody can be exposed to this harmful smoke, which we know contains live viruses, toxic chemicals, and cancer cells. They're dangerous as they float in the air, and we know that no mask is good enough to keep you safe from the smoke, no matter how thick that mask might be or how many of those masks you put on. We have the support of many of our nursing colleagues throughout the state, including the Florida Association of Nurse Anesthetists, and many hospitals in the state are already using smoke evacuation systems. At a time when our healthcare workers are experiencing burnout, leaving the profession, Florida can make an important step to protect the health and safety of our OR nurses and shore up the workforce for the Florida residents for then to come. As Representative Woodson said, we already know, based on the number of registered nurses in the state, that we're going to have a huge shortfall by 2035. We need to keep the ones that we've got. We need to keep them healthy. So please support our bill. Thank you.
Thank you for being here. Mm-hmm. Next up, we've got Megan Maroney, also representing the Florida Nurses Association, a proponent of the bill, wishing to speak. You're recognized.
Thank you. Good morning, Chair Fine and members of the committee. My name is Megan Maroney, and I'm the director of the West Central Region of the Florida Nurses Association, representing constituents from DeSoto, Hardy, Hernando, Highlands, Hillsboro, Manatee, Pasco, Pinellas, Polk, and Sarasota counties. Thank you, Representative Woodson, for sponsoring HB 63, Protection from Surgical Smoke. We appreciate the opportunity to present HB 63 in our home districts at your town hall, Representative Cross, and before your Highlands County Legislative Delegation, Representative Tuck. It is estimated that over 500,000 patients and healthcare workers in the state of Florida are exposed to surgical smoke each year. Surgical smoke produced from vaporized burning human flesh and tissue is a workplace safety hazard and health risk for both nurses and the surgical team, doubling their chances of respiratory issues than the general population, and equivalent to inhaling 27 to 30 unfiltered cigarettes daily. Surgical smoke is also a reproductive health risk for female surgeons. The American College of Surgeons advises evacuating surgical smoke to prevent exposure to COVID when surgery is performed on COVID-positive patients. The National Fire Protection Association's 2024 Healthcare Facilities Code requires surgical smoke capture in new or remodeled hospitals. The state of Florida needs this legislation to extend this to all pre-existing facilities. A baby's first breath delivered by C-section should not be surgical smoke. There may be at least one of us in this room who will need surgery, or who knows a family member, friend, or colleague who will have surgery, or who works in the OR and thus exposed to this hazardous environment. HB 63 protects not only nurses, but the entire surgical team, and most importantly, our patients first and foremost. On behalf of your constituents, I humbly ask for your support for HB 63 in hopes of making Florida the 16th state to go smoke-free. Thank you.
Thank you. Next up, we've got Sandra Falk, and if I mispronounce your name, please correct it, representing the Florida Nurse Association, also a proponent of the bill.
You said my name perfectly. Thank you so much.
Great.
Chair Fine and members of this Health and Human Services Committee, I stand before you today in strong support of House Bill 63. My name is Sandra Falk, and I have been a certified perioperative surgical nurse for over 26 years. Surgical smoke is created when human tissue is coagulated, cut, or ablated using an energy device such as electrocautery or laser. In other words, it is the smoke from burning flesh or burning tissue, and along with our patients, at least 500,000 healthcare providers are exposed to surgical smoke each year in our state. Jan, Megan, and I have testified previously on these issues, and we've tried to provide pertinent information, which I will repeat in this committee. Our masks, no mask, is 100%. During COVID, we had to wear N95s and a surgical mask over it. And I can tell you, it was difficult to breathe. There were issues with our skin, our lips. It was extremely difficult. And God help you if you needed to sneeze. Our surgeons and our surgical techs at the field were stuck there for hours, unable to change those masks. We've spoken about the cancers when healthcare workers are exposed to surgical smoke. Those cancers being reported in the lungs, throat, nose, and respiratory tract. Surgical smoke contains toxic gases, some of which are carcinogenic, like acrolein, benzene, and formaldehyde. There was a study in 1979 showing that the particles were so small they were able to get through or under the masks. No mask, even the high filtration masks, do not adequately provide a seal around the nose and the mouth that would block the particles and the entry of those particles through surgery smoke. Cancer can be formed from that gas toxicity and the irritation. Surgical smoke exposure is a workplace safety hazard during any surgical procedure using energy devices mentioned previously. We are advocating for this solution for all operating rooms who are routinely exposed to surgical smoke. 15 states have already enacted surgical smoke evacuation, including Georgia, Louisiana, Kentucky, Arizona, and Missouri. There is no doubt Florida can do the same. Again, there are over 500,000 healthcare workers in Florida operating rooms working 7 days a week, 52 weeks every year. We take an oath as nurses to protect our patients. Will you take the action to protect our patients, surgeons, anesthesiologists, nurses, nurse anesthetists, surgical techs, first assist, radiology teams, pathology teams, students, and the representatives who might be in our operating rooms teaching us new equipment who also want us to have clean air in our workplaces? Last but not least, we should ensure every newborn's first breaths are clean air and not surgical smoke. We thank you for your support for House Bill 63 and for your service to our communities, particularly Jenna Persons-Malika, who represents Fort Myers and gave us the opportunity to present HB 63 to the Lee County Legislative Delegation meeting. Thank you so much. To our sponsor, Representative Woodson, what can I say? And our co-sponsors, we thank you for believing in this bill. And to Representative Snyder, we thank you for your service to our country. I would be happy to answer any questions at this time regarding my testimony. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for being here. Last up, we have Jack Corey, representing the Florida Nurses Association, a proponent of the bill, waves in support. Okay, and then two more. Megan Fay, representing the Florida Association of Nurse Anesthesiology, waves in support. And Jeffrey Becker, representing Medtronic, waves in support. Members, anyone wishing to speak on Representative Woodson's second bill today? I'm going to make sure I read this. Okay. Seeing none, Representative Woodson. Yes. Go ahead, Representative Hart. Sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Woodson, thank you for the good bill. I had no idea, because I've had surgery, that the skin was burning and that it was could have possibly killed somebody else. So it's good news to know that you all are taking care of this. My daughter just had surgery, but she didn't know it either. So I thank you for this good bill. I look forward to voting up on your bill. Thank you, Rep. Fine, for agending two of her bills.
Good, it's sinking in. Members, anyone else? Anyone else wishing to speak? Yes, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to speak to the importance of respiratory health. And I was just chatting with Representative Tuck. I gave a presentation in a committee yesterday about veterans' resources and not to get into it, but the military used to have us burn everything when we were deployed. We were on burn detail, and it would literally be anything and everything. And it took the military up to just a couple of years ago to recognize the long-term effects of the burning of anything that's made from our own bodies. And being exposed to that. And I had mentioned that this is why I sound this way. It's not that I'm actually sick. I have chronic sinusitis and lots of things going on from that. And the military is taking care of me. But the point is, there is a lot to this we never even considered for many, many years. And now we're looking back and saying, this is something that we really need to do to protect the people, especially in the operating room. So I appreciate all the hard work and the mentioning of our great Representative Snyder. Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay. Seeing none, Representative Woodson, you are recognized to close on your second bill of the day.
All right, Mr. Chair. I'm going to have a dream tonight that you say second bills, right? All right, but no, sincerely, I want to thank you for giving this consideration, especially a bill as important as this one, where our nurses, our healthcare workers, doctors, everybody is exposed to surgical smoke. And I really appreciate it. And I would be remiss if I did not say thank you so much to Jack Corey, who started working with me from day one on this bill. Remember, we had it last year. And this is the second year we're finally getting it to where it needs to be. And to my three leaders who come here today to testify, I really appreciate you and the knowledge that you have passed on to me as well in order for me to do the job that I'm supposed to be doing for the residents of the state of Florida. I look forward to us working on another one again next year. And also to my staff who is here, Nadine, who has been working very hard with me, who takes everything, whenever I have a lot to do, she knows. So I appreciate her as well. And to Cuesta Calamas, Cuesta, you won, okay? Because Cuesta, every time I call her, she would do the research and she would work with Jack and I in order for us to get it to where it is today. So my sincere thanks for your work on this. This is a good public policy bill, and it will provide better patient care as well. So members, I would really appreciate your support in this, and to everyone who has contributed, to all the nurses in the state of Florida, to the doctors, the healthcare workers, this one is for you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Chair, again.
Having closed on her second bill, Sabrina, please call the roll on HB 63 and announce the vote.
Representative Barrero?
Yes.
Anderson?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Amnesty? Baker?
Yes.
Cross?
Yes.
Dunkley?
Yes.
Edmonds?
A healthy yes.
Grant?
Yes.
Hart?
Yes.
Coster?
Yes.
Masula?
Yes. Thank you.
Persons Mulica?
Yes.
Lakin?
Yes.
Salzman?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Trabuzzi?
Yes.
Tuck?
Yes.
Sorry. Tuck?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Yurkowski?
Yes.
Chair Fine?
Yes.
20 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Show the bill reported favorably. Congratulations. Members, that concludes our agenda for today. And I just want everybody to know we will be meeting next week. Seeing no further business, Vice Chair Barrero moves you rise. With that, we are adjourned.